The closer you are to God, the more you see your sinfulness and the less you judge others. Once you experience the forgiveness of God, you are set free. How should we pray? God first, right? Focus on God. Okay, focus on God. Hiya, everybody. Focus on God. When you focus on God, that means you don't focus on your problem. You think of your relationship with God. He is our Father. And then you can now pray for your needs, our needs. Am I correct? All right. And then the most important part now, this is the transition between part one and part two, is this phrase. Everybody read. This is the connection. Your will be done. My prayer is when you learn how to pray, you will really delight to do God's will. It took me years to learn to delight to do God's will. Our topic today is very simple. Our theme, unleash God's power, surrender your needs through prayer. What are our needs? Physical, spiritual, emotional, future needs, present needs, future needs. All of that is covered in this prayer. Thy will be done. You surrender to God because God cares for you. Now, what are the needs we have? Well, in this prayer, God will take care of your provision. God will take care of your need for forgiveness. Many times, you want to earn forgiveness. You cannot earn forgiveness. God gives it to you. And protection. Matthew chapter 6. Let's read verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice what the Bible is saying. Give us this day our daily. You know how some people pray? Give us this day our weekly needs. Give us this day our monthly. Some of you are not contented with monthly. You want, give us this day my need for the next 20 years so I can retire now. My friend, listen to me. God can do that. But are you willing to pray, give us this day for my need for the day? You see the difference? That word daily was debated by many scholars. What does that word really mean? Because it was not used in classical Greek until they discovered an old manuscript, a papyrus paper, where it is used for a shopping list. In the shopping list, the word used is, let's read this, S, lead together, epiosios. Epiosios is the word used for daily. So they finally understood the meaning. Epiosios means supply us with the things we need for the coming day. It's a shopping list reminding the person, these are the things I need to go to the market. Can I tell you something? This prayer tells me that God loves you. He cares for your physical needs. Not just physical, not just spiritual. Can you tell your neighbor, God loves you. God loves you, okay? What do I know God loves you? He not only died on the cross for your sins, he's now telling you, I'm going to take care of your physical needs. You know, sometimes we spiritualize the Bible so much, but we don't realize God cares for you as a whole person. God cares for your present needs, for your future needs, everything about you. But you must understand how to pray. You see, this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is dependent on something you need to understand. It's found in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, the Israelites, 600,000 men, if you include the wives and the children, I would say minimum 2 million people. They left Egypt. They went through the desert to enter the promised land. No food, no water. God says, don't worry. I will take care of you. So the book of Exodus tells us the foundation of give us this day our daily bread. Do you know the foundation? This is the foundation. Let's read this together. The Lord said to Moses, I will rain bread from heaven. Manna. How many of you have heard of the word manna? Manna. That is the best food in the world, which I don't know how to produce it. Because the manna has complete enzyme, protein, vitamins, probiotics. Everything they needed is in the manna. So Exodus tells us, I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. Meaning, will you trust me that I'll provide for you? So what is the instructions? Every day you go. And then on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much. So what is the instruction? Gather every day as much as you need, but do not store it, because the next day I'll give you again. Second instruction, on the day before the Sabbath, you gather twice. Okay? Because on the Sabbath, there won't be any manna. Are we clear? Now, will you obey God or no? You know, I'm reminded of myself. Ang tigas-tigas ng ulo. We are so stubborn. They did not obey the Lord. You know what they did? Every day, when God provided food, some people wanted to gather more. And you know what they did? They stored. Bumabaon. You know why you store? You don't trust God will provide you tomorrow. You know what happened to the food? Because they stored? I'll show you. They did not listen. And they took extra until morning. What did happen? Everybody read. It bred worms and became foul. Is that your habit? You don't want to trust God for daily needs? That's what they did. Then God told them, the day before the Sabbath, do not work on the Sabbath. Trust me. Again, did the people obey God? No. You know what some did? I'll show you. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. It just reminds me of human nature. So hard to trust God. You know, God wants you to trust Him. How often? Day by day. In Deuteronomy, God warns us, when you have eaten and are satisfied, and have built good houses and live in them, and all you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. You see, our problem is this. When God has blessed you, you forget Him. Our tendency is to forget the Lord. Can I tell you something? People who are desperate will always think of God. But people, like modern people, where God has blessed us, where you have everything, your tendency, your temptation is to think it's you. Look at what it says here. What is the danger? Then your heart will become proud because you think you did it yourself. This prayer reminds you, you are to depend on God. How often? Day by day, moment by moment. Everything you have is from God. Everything I have is from God. This prayer is a prayer to remind us. God is the great provider, and God is faithful. Some of you may not have physical needs, yes or no? But you may have other needs. Whatever it is, I want you to know, God promised to meet your needs on a daily basis. Why is that daily basis so important? All right, will you read Matthew chapter 6? Look at that principle. Do not worry. Everybody tell your neighbor, do not worry. Do you know this is a command? Is worrying a sin? Louder. It is. So this is for God's people. This is not for everybody. Only God's people can afford not to worry. That's a command. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What will we where? God says, don't worry. The Gentiles seek all of these things. Everybody, I love this. Your heavenly Father knows. You need all these things. Notice, your needs. Surrender your needs. Now, you are thinking God will answer all your wants. That's not the promise. The promise is all your needs. Look at the next verse. But what's your job? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. So, you got a job to do. As of now, be busy. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That is the prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Seek first. I don't know about the way you prioritize your life. Many of you want to claim the provisions of God, but you do not know the principle. For me, the principle is so simple. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. And all of these things will be added unto you. What are all of these things? What you shall eat, what you shall put on your clothing. Now, read. Everybody, do not worry about tomorrow. Now, how many of you are worried about tomorrow? Be honest. Do you worry? I do. And I'm reminded, don't worry about tomorrow. I'd like you to know the story of a certain guy by the name of George Mueller. You know, George Mueller is one of those classic man of faith. Do you know his philosophy? I want you to read his philosophy. This is his philosophy, George Mueller. Number one, he said, I desire for the world to know that God is faithful. God will provide for the needs of His ministry. I will not take any salary. And then he added, I will not tell anybody my needs. I trust God to put in people's hearts to send me what I need. So here is George Mueller. He never took a loan, went into debt. Over 60 years, he fed 10,000 orphans. But he never asked people for money. George Mueller set out to prove to the world that God is faithful. There was a day when all the orphans were lined up, the table was set, no food. You know what he did? He said, children, let's pray because we don't want to be late in school. He put up a school. Over 100,000 students passed through that school. He said, Lord, I thank you. This is in his diary. I'd like you to read the life of George Mueller. He said, I thank you. Your children are waiting. We have no food. Would you believe it? Right after his prayer, somebody knocked. It was a baker. The baker said, I couldn't sleep last night. The Lord woke me up at 3 in the morning to cook bread for you. So here is the bread. After that guy left, somebody knocked. The milk man, he said, something happened to my, I don't know how you call it, like a truck, something happened. The wheel broke in front of this place. Can I give you all my milk? Of course, George Mueller said, yes. Can you imagine? God supplies at the right time His amazing way. Is God good, yes or no? My friend, I want you. I'm not saying you don't tell others your need. But I have a few pastors in CCF. I have a few people in CCF who will never tell people their financial needs. But God supplies. I'm not saying it is wrong to tell people. But CCF has experienced this. CCF, we don't pass offering boxes. But God has supplied all the needs of CCF, including this building and the next building. No debt, no loan. Is God good, yes or no? But some of you are not able to experience this. You know why? Because you do not follow God's way. You are afraid. You don't want to tithe. You know why you don't want to tithe? Because you want to have savings. You put your trust in savings. My friend, you follow God's way. Put your trust in the giver, not on the gift. Amen? Number two, how should you pray? You pray. Let's read. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Why is this so important? Forgiveness is your greatest need. You will not pray this prayer until you realize you need forgiveness. You see, most people, apart from God's encounter in your life, you will never see yourself as a sinner. Most of us think we are good enough. What do I mean? Let me show you. What do I mean by respectable sin, obvious sin, all right? Some of you don't understand how sinful we are. Oh, because you tell me, Peter, I don't. You know, these are the obvious sins. I don't murder, I don't lie, I don't rape, I don't commit adultery, I don't steal, I don't swindle, I'm not into pornography, drunkenness, or drugs, whatever, etc. Sure. What about the tolerated sin? I call this the respectable sin that people commit without feeling bad. Example, greed. Gossip. Ladies, I'm not talking to you, I'm just saying example. Gossip. Anger. Temper. I don't know how you react to your family members. Cursing. Judging others. Critical spirit. Unforgiveness. Not keeping your word. Or you say, pangako ko ito. Itong utang ko, I will pay. You don't pay. Not keeping your word. Divisiveness. Unloving. Materialistic. Pride. Selfishness. How many of you are guilty of any of this sin? Raise your hands. You are guilty. Without God's grace, you will not understand the need for forgiveness. You will be so proud. You will be so self-righteous. Some of you here are self-righteous because you are religious. You are a good person. I praise God. You are a good person. But until you see the holiness of God, you will not see how sinful you are. It's a comparative statement. When I compare myself to others, I may be okay. But when I compare myself to my Maker, man, look at Isaiah. When Isaiah encountered the Lord, the Bible tells us, when Isaiah encountered the Lord, when he was in the presence of God, you know what he said? Woe is me, I am ruined. Literally, Isaiah said, I am undone, I am finished. You see, before Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah was judging other nations, criticizing other nations. And then God appeared to Isaiah. And Isaiah said, I am undone. Look at Peter. When Peter encountered the Lord, Peter said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. The Apostle Paul, look at this journey. When he was a young Christian, he said, I am the least of the apostles. Then he became older in the faith. I am the last of all the saints. And then when he was about to die, the last book in the book of Timothy, I am foremost of all what? I am the chief of sinners. This is my experience with people. The closer you are to God, the more you see your sinfulness and the less you judge others. If you are not intimate with God, you are so quick to judge others. Now, this prayer of Jesus that he taught us, forgive us our debt as we have forgiven our debtors, implies number one, you must see your sinfulness. Once you experience the forgiveness of God, you are set free. Then, part two of forgiving others comes in. What is that prayer? I'll show you that prayer. Forgive us our debt. This word debt, there are different words for sin. Amartia, paraptoma, different words for sin. This is one word. This word means what I'm supposed to do, I don't do. What are my duties I'm not able to do? The sin of omission. Forgive us our debts, my duties, as we have forgiven our debtors. To receive forgiveness from God and forgiving others are interconnected. I want you to read this simple quotation that we have placed for you to understand. Everybody read this. To forgive and to be forgiven are linked. It cannot be separated. Divine forgiveness and human forgiveness are inseparable. Let me give you a story from Jesus. One day, the Apostle Peter came to Jesus and he asked Jesus, How many times should I forgive my brother? Peter wanted to impress Jesus. So he said, okay, 7 times. Jesus said, not 7 times. I do not say to you 7 times, up to 70 times 7. That's how many times? Please tell me, how many times? Did you pass your mathematics? 70 times 7, 490 times. What is Jesus saying? Forgiveness should not be an occasion. Forgiveness is a way of life for Christians. And then to make that point so clear, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slave. So Jesus came up with a story. I will teach you why forgiveness is so important. I will now give you a story. In that story, the first slave owed the king 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. How much is one talent? One talent is 6,000 days of labor. If you compare that to the Philippine salary, what is one day's salary minimum? 600. Yes? 600? More or less. So, what is one talent? 6,000 days of labor. So, how much is that? 3.6 million. Am I correct? One talent is 3.6 million. Now, the guy owed the king how much? 10,000 talents. In short, Jesus is a master teacher. The guy owed the king billions of peso. So he went to the king. Ito drama ito. Huh? Boshing. He knelt down. He really knelt down. He said, Lord, please forgive me. And then, you know, the Lord, the Bible tells us, the king was moved with compassion. Okay, I forgive you. Oh, if you're that slave, are you happy? Wow. All right. Then somebody approached this guy, another slave. He was forgiven. He should be so happy, right? Then somebody approached him. Sir, will you forgive me? This guy said, why will I forgive you? How much do you owe me? 100 days of salary. How much is 100 days of salary? 60,000 pesos. You know, this guy did not want to forgive him. He put him in jail until he will pay the whole amount. You see the comparison? Somebody owed so much, forgiven, and then somebody owed so little, will not forgive. This is what Jesus is saying. You owe me so much, I forgave you. This guy owed you so little, you don't forgive him. Let's see the meaning of that story. Summoning him, the Lord said, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you? So what's the application? Next verse. His Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers. Torturers. I'll explain that later. Until he should repay all that was owed him. Everybody read. This is the application. Together. My Heavenly Father will also do to the same to you. If each of you does not forgive his brother from the heart. You know what God is saying? You, I, we are sinners. We have sinned against God many, many times. It is countless. And God tells me, I forgive you. So who are you? Who am I not to forgive others? If you are a true Christian, God will make sure you learn to forgive. You know why? He hands you to the torturers. I've seen Christians who call themselves Christian. They are so angry. They become bitter. They begin to slander people. They change. And then they get sick. They lose their health. They lose everything. Now, only God knows if that person is a real Christian or not. But one thing I know, if you refuse to forgive, you are the one suffering. You know, people who don't forgive, you know what's in their mind? I want to punish that person. That's why you don't want to forgive. Are there people in your life right now that you are not forgiving? You know, God commands you. Look at the command in Mark 11. Let's read Mark 11. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. It's a command. When you want God to answer your prayer, you better forgive. If you have anything against anyone, you forgive. You forgive that person. Your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Another word for sin. This is now, you are breaking the commandments. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you. Let me explain to you what is true forgiveness, okay? So this is true forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice. True forgiveness. It is not a feeling. So some of you are deceived. You think you got to feel it. No. It's a choice. I choose to forgive. True forgiveness is based on God's forgiveness. Because God forgave you, you forgive others. It is not based on what is fair. You know, some of you feel, it's not fair. This person took advantage of me. That's not the point. Forgiveness is based on Christ. It's a command. It is not a suggestion. It's supernatural. You cannot do it on your own. It is the world's forgiveness. They think it's natural. It's supernatural. It's unconditional. This is conditional. You know how you forgive? You need Christ. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Because once you have Jesus, Holy Spirit is in you. He gives you the power. So don't grieve Him. Do what He tells you to do. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Bible tells us you are saved, you are redeemed, and the Holy Spirit is given to you. And then look at the application. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, everybody, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You see, the basis of our forgiveness is God in Christ, in Christ. If you have Christ, you will surely forgive. If you don't have Christ, you don't have the power. And if you don't forgive, you are living in sin. And to live in sin is dangerous. Because the Bible says you cannot be a Christian and live in sin. You will repent. Are we clear? And then the last request is very crucial. It says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, do not lead us into temptation. What is the meaning of the word temptation? The word temptation can be translated two ways. It's from the Greek word perasmos. Perasmos can be translated as temptation if the purpose is for you to sin. It is translated as trials. It's translated as tests. Not just trials, tests. To strengthen us, to prove. So, example of how the word temptation, perasmos, is used. James chapter 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, perasmos. The purpose of this perasmos is the testing of your faith. It is to make you stronger, not weaker. So God allows many times testing to prove your character, to make you better, to let you see if you're a real Christian or not. And then the same chapter talks about perasmos in another context. Let no one say when he is perasmos, tempted, I'm being perasmos, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt. So God does not do that. So when you are tempted, anyone, but each one, everybody read, each one is tempted. when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. So this prayer, lead us not. Notice all of this prayer is plural. Give us this day. Meaning, you think of the needs of others. This prayer is not give me this day, it's give us. Lead us not. It is also for us to pray for one another. Lead us not into temptation. To pray, Lord, protect me from sin is wonderful. But you got to do your part. I remember this man. He was riding on an airplane to Hong Kong. And a beautiful girl sat beside him. And the girl said, what are you doing in Hong Kong? This guy said, I'm on a business trip, blah, blah, blah. The girl said, well, if you are free, you can call me. Here's my address. So the guy got the calling card. Now he's a Christian. After this embarking, you know what he did with that card? He saw a waste can. He threw it. You know why he threw it? Because he knew, I don't have the power, I don't have the strength to resist. Look at this prayer. Lead us not into temptation. You got to do your part. Before the temptation comes, you must decide already, I'm going to run away. The word evil, from the original Greek language, can be translated as the evil one. It is an article. So other Bible version says, do not lead us into temptation. Look at this New King James Version. It says, but deliver us from the evil one. Who is the evil one? Satan. Jesus knew the power of the devil. Peter experienced this. That's why Peter said, be on the alert. Because of the reality of the evil one, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a lion, seeking someone to devour. Many of you are ignorant of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is real. Satan is out to get you. That's why you need to pray this prayer. This prayer is a prayer of humility. Lord, I am weak. Lead me not into trials, into temptation. Lord, hindi ko kaya ito. Jesus told Peter, 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 Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, to destroy you. But I prayed for you. We need to pray for each other. That your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brother. Look at the prayer of Jesus. Jesus told Peter, he told his disciples, the flesh is weak. Therefore, you got to pray. Remember, he told us, pray that you enter not into temptation. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, Peter was tempted by what? Two little girls. They say, you denied Jesus, you denied Jesus. He denied Jesus. But did he pass the exam? Yes, because the Bible tells us, Peter repented. Judas flunked the test and he did not repent. He was devoured by the evil one. Peter was not devoured by the evil one. Why do I say that? Jesus told Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes. Jesus told Peter, shepherd my flock, pastor my people. Second time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Take care of the Christians. Third time, Peter, do you love me? All right, take care of my people. The Bible tells us Peter became one of the strongest Christian leaders because he got protected. That's why at the end of Peter's life, you know what he wrote? This is what he wrote. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, for your perasmos, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. In other words, when you are tested trial, but you depend on the Holy Spirit, hey, learn to rejoice so that at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. The reason why Peter can write what he wrote, he went through failure. That's why he tells people, the devil is real. He's going to destroy us. But he tells you, don't give up. What's the message today? Unleash God's power. Surrender your needs. What are your needs? Physical needs? Yes, provision. What are your needs? The need for forgiveness. The need to forgive others. What's our need? Protection from the devil. If that is your desire, and I know that's your desire, to go through life, I want you to bow your heads and pray. First prayer, those of you who have never really invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you are not sure God is your Father. Will you pray this prayer with me? You are not sure, but today you want to be sure that God becomes your Heavenly Father. Will you raise your hands? Praise God. Anybody else? Raise your hands higher. You want to be sure God is your Father. Higher. Raise your hands. You want to be sure. All right. Those of you whose hands are raised up, praise God. Many of you, you pray this prayer. This is how to become a child of God. Lord Jesus, I need you. Today, I surrender my life to you. I'm a proud person. I don't feel I need you. But today, I realize I'm a sinner. I'm a bad sinner. Will you forgive me? Change my heart. Come into my life. Second prayer. Those of you, put your hands down. You have people in your heart that you are angry. You have people in your heart you have a hard time forgiving. I'd like you to bow down your heads again. Keep bowing down. You name that person, surrender that person to God. Would you pray right now? God is telling you, you have not forgiven this person. You are angry at this person. Will you tell them to the Lord Jesus right now? You tell God. Be honest with Him. Say, Lord, I need to forgive this person because you have forgiven me. Will you tell God directly right now, wherever you are? You surrender that person to Jesus. Whatever that person has done for you, it can be painful. It can be a betrayal. You say, Lord, as you have forgiven me, I forgive that person. Whatever name God brings to your mind, you surrender that to Him. Remember, it's very serious. You need to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. Father God in heaven, I thank you for the provision of forgiveness, that you have forgiven us and now we choose to forgive others. So Lord, we surrender to you all our needs. We come before you, bankrupt, without strength. But Father, we come to you. I now pray that you forgive us as we forgive others. Forgive us of our unforgiveness. And now I pray for everybody here, Lord Jesus, that you will be the one to make us grow, have a deeper relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for this amazing prayer. In your name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you.